Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to be able to once again come into your presence to share the good news of the eternal God. We invite you to join us each time we have the privilege of making this broadcast available to you. And we pray that God will use it in your life to His honor, His glory, and His praise. Today we're continuing in our study of spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given to His church. And these gifts are various types of gifts, but all of these spiritual gifts are to bring glory and honor and praise to the eternal God. That's the basic purpose behind all of these gifts. It's not to magnify or bring glory to an individual or to a person, but rather to glorify the eternal God. Many of these spiritual gifts were much more active in the past before we had the Word of God written, which is now the guide by which we go. It's through the Word of God today that the Holy Spirit of God convicts of sin, draws an individual to Jesus, and thus, after salvation, helps one to grow in the knowledge of truth. And it's through the Word of God that we can know whether a person is of God or whether they are a representative of Satan, who appears in sheep's clothing, that is, appears to be what they are not. For Satan has individuals today that disguise themselves, even as Satan himself appears as an angel of light, and as we're told in Revelation 12, deceives the whole world. And so he has his ministers, and that's why we need to know God's Word. Because the Word of God gives specific guidelines by which we can know whether this preacher or this evangelist is proclaiming the truth, or whether they're mixing truth with lies, which is the most deceptive type of instructions that are given. That's Satan's method, which he used back in Genesis chapter 3, and he hasn't changed his technique even today. And so there are false prophets and false teachers that you must beware of. And that's why the Word of God is so important and so essential. In the past, many of these gifts, these spiritual gifts, were evidences given that individuals were of God and thus could be listened to and could be heeded. But today, God's Word is that which opens up our understanding to what is true and what is false. And so, spiritual gifts are for the glory of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. And that's another spiritual gift that we're going to consider and to talk about a little more in detail. A miracle is an event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers, and is ascribed to divine or supernatural cause. It's a wonder, it's a marvel that occurs. And so we see the Word of God reveals many miracles, especially in Old Testament times, that show us what was of God. Now, even today, we sometimes see amazing things that could only occur supernaturally. I remember hearing a testimony by K. Arthur of a doctor that was an ungodly man that she worked with, and one day he was trying to save a dying man, and he was doing all he could to keep that man from dying. And she said, every once in a while the man would become alert again, and he would cry out. And the words that he cried out was, "Keep working on my body, doctor. Don't let me die. I'm in hell." And that was his cry. "I'm in hell." And the doctor didn't know what to make of it, because he didn't believe in hell, and he didn't believe in God. But this, he kept working on the man and was eventually able to save him. And when he talked to the man about it, the man didn't remember what it was about or didn't remember the experience. But it was apparently an out-of-body experience in which he was leaving his body and heading into that real literal hell that awaits the individual who dies without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there are many miracles that God used to open the eyes of people to the fact that He is the true and the living God. He used Israel as His house of witness and testimony in the Old Testament. He called Abraham, and through Abraham, He began to develop the nation of Israel, with Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And through Jacob, then his name was changed to Israel, and this was the beginning of the nation of Israel. You recall how that the children of Israel went into Egyptian bondage, that is, into the land of Egypt, to escape a terrible drought that was upon the land of Canaan. And there they were in the land of Egypt, and some 400 years they prospered, until the Pharaohs, who did not know how God had worked through Joseph to preserve Egypt, because the Israelites had grown so, they became fearful and afraid of them, and they made slaves of them. And so they were in bondage, and they were crying for deliverance. And you recall how that all the male children were to be put to death. But a woman named Jochebed had a child named whom she loved, and she preserved his life when he was born. She didn't kill him as all the male children were supposed to be killed. And she took him down to the river, put him in a basket of reeds that she had made with some tar or some pitch, and set him afloat. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and heard his cry, opened the basket, found Moses, and she called him Moses because she drew him out of the water. She took him, and you recall how that he grew up in Pharaoh's household and was given the best education of the world at that time. And as a grown man, you recall how that he became interested in where he came from and in his roots, and found out that he was an Israelite, and raised up to protect the Israelites, killed a man, and had to flee for his life. And so Exodus chapter 3 tells about God's call to Moses. And here we begin to see some miraculous things that God does through Moses in the gift of miracles that God gave and enabled Moses to perform. In Exodus 3:18, "And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." And I am sure, this is God speaking to Moses, that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians," that is, the Israelites, "and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians." Now this seemed an amazing and almost incredible thing to come about, because they were in such sore bondage and were crying out to God for deliverance. And verse 1 of chapter 4, "Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said to him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and a miracle occurred. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Here again we see another miracle. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, Furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out, and behold, it was turned again as his own flesh." Another amazing miracle, just the beginning of what God was going to do through Moses. Till next time, goodbye.